Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
The timing of today's special guest couldn't be more perfect. We have Marco Beretta with us from Modbox, makers of the finest quality raised garden beds in Australia. And I just happened to be in the market for some raised beds for our new garden. So I have lots of questions to ask Marco. Welcome, Marco, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, with the rising cost of living that we're all talking about at the moment, families are looking for ways to save money, and growing our own vegetables is one fantastic way to do that. And using raised beds to do so, I think, makes the activity a much easier and more pleasurable one. So, Marco, please tell us what the benefits are of having raised beds in our garden.
Oh, what a question.
Thanks. Big question?
Big question. How long have we got? A couple of hours?
No. A few minutes. Go.
First, let me tell you how a pleasure it is to be here. Oh. And please forgive me if you don't understand what I say all the time. I still have a bit of a heritage of my accent. So
it's a beautiful, we think it's a beautiful accent.
Thank you. So benefit of raised garden beds. Probably the first one that comes to mind is easy of access. Everyone grows old. There's no exception.
Unfortunately.
And our backs are getting stiffer and stiffer, harder. So probably one of the biggest advantage of having a raised garden bed is having that soil that instead of being at ground level is raised up to a more comfortable height.
Absolutely.
And that height is roughly?
It depends from person to person.
Yeah. But mainly about 450 mil.
450 mil is the ideal, the ideal height, yes.
Now, we met many, many years ago while you were travelling, doing a bit of a travelling circuit through lots of the farmers' markets.
Yeah.
And we bumped into each other at the Mount Liza community market.
Oh.
And that's where it all started. And at that stage, I was hardware manager for the Diggers Club. And I was so impressed with your product that we had you as part of our huge site at the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show. And that, I think, was probably a very, very good kickoff for Modbox, I thought.
Indeed it was, yes. Yes.
Fantastic.
Okay, so you tell us that the obviously physical challenges are an issue for people growing older, so that's one of the benefits of having raised garden beds.
Yeah.
But there are so many other benefits, aren't there?
That's right.
Starting with the soil.
Yeah. We in a raised garden bed, we can control the soil that we put in. Many of the sites in Australia, they are either with a high density of sand or high density of clay, and neither of these two are very easy.
Definitely not
ground to grow any type of plant. So in a raised garden bed, we can put in the best selected soil for what we want to grow. I'm sure that Keith has got so much knowledge about the best soil, and I know that you guys have.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at it. He's pretty good.
Well, we work a lot on it. We work very, very hard on it. You know, the worst thing about Modbox is actually filling the damn things.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It is. You know, but I mean, look, once you've done that, once you've selected your soil, and you want a fairly open soil, because the more open the soil is, the easier it is to add the compost and those other beautiful organic amendments to the actual soil profile. And then after that, after your crops are done, you pull out your crops. They've depleted a lot of that goodness that's in that soil, and you just keep on adding more compost. That's what I do, and then a few other amendments like rock dust and biochar, and bang, away you go.
And do you start with, like, what sort of soil? Do you recommend certain types of soil, or is that up to the individual to make that decision themselves?
Oh, depend from where in Australia you're from. If you are lucky to live in Victoria, we have a couple of very good suppliers of soil and compost.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of Australia, we have a recipe for soil that through the years we have developed to minimize all of the guesswork and to optimize the success of a raised garden bed.
Absolutely.
So I think they're absolutely fantastic. I have eight of Marco's Mod Boxes in my backyard. I've got five rectangular ones, and the size is actually very important. This is another issue too, because when you've got a bed that goes up against a wall, you don't want it to be 1.2 metres across because you're going to be leaning across that bed. So where you got up against the wall, a 600 mil width is probably sufficient. Mm. But where you can have them in the middle of your lawn, 1.2 metres by normally 2.4 is the standard sort of beds that I have, and then three rectangular beds,
yes,
which are fantastic.
That's right. Sometimes the idea of having the biggest garden beds ever usually is very appealing, as well as the tallest one. And there's a lot of drawbacks with these two ideas of having the tallest garden beds. Sometimes, like, one person thinks that 1 meter tall garden beds would be the best, and let's say 3 meters by 3 meters. But in the height of the garden bed, one other thing is that there is a lot of wastage, so the plants will grow only on the top part of that garden bed. And also, every growing season, the shoveling is very hard to do at a very high garden bed. At 450 mil, which was the sweet spot of a raised garden bed, it's a very comfortable.
And I just want to let listeners know what 450 mil is. Mm. It's what you sit on. It's a chair height.
Okay.
That's roughly a chair height, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then with Marco's mod boxes, you can have either a different width at the top for a small bum, or a wider section for a bigger bun. So to sit down, so you can sit on the edge of the box and do your planting, do your weeding. The whole thing.
It's getting very personal because they also, what size is your bum? Well, it's large. Okay, now with Modbox, in general, on the market, there's quite a large range of raised beds on the market, including homemade beds out of all kinds of materials, from plastic to wheelbarrows to tyres to all sorts of things. What, in your opinion, is the best material to use to construct a raised bed?
It depends from what do you want to grow in the garden bed. I personally think that timber, although expensive, has got a lot of benefits. Mm. First of all, it's a natural material, and we're putting a natural material in the garden. So for aesthetic reason, we are actually working with the environment that we look at. And timber is also a natural insulant. So in Australia, we have ranges of temperature. They go between very cold to very hot. And during the hot summer months, this baking sun can be extremely, extremely harsh to that soil. And so having a material like timber compared to maybe metal, it's very beneficial. Mm. Plastic is readily available. If we want to grow edible plants, the plastic needs to be a food grade, at least. We battle with, the idea that there's a lot of plastic in the world already. Mm. So as a personal choice, I would rather not having a plastic raised garden bed.
But you need the food grade plastic to line when you're doing when you're working with edible.
Because otherwise, any other plastic's going to leach its nasty little toxins into the soil, which are taken up by the plants, which end up in you, and that's the problem.
And there's no alternative to you putting lining the bed with plastic, is there? With the food grade plastic, there's no alternative that's not plastic to do that with.
Or? There is, but the lifespan of the raised garden bed is going to be drastically reduced. Mm. The microbes that they are in the soil, especially if the soil is wet, they're going to be extremely aggressive with whatever timber we put in there. And so it's about the amount of time. Depending from the thickness of the timber, you can get up to 10 years or more or less.
Okay.
So one of the drawbacks, for instance, you see an awful lot of raised beds that are actually made from tin or from corrugated iron or whatever else. And one of the negative problems with that is that they're fine during the winter period when you put a seedling in. The seedling's roots will tend to grow towards the warmth, which is by the side of the corrugated iron. Mm. And then the problem you've got then is that when summer comes, that heat onto those roots will burn those root tips off, and you've got plants that are then going to be suffering and not working well. The material that Marco uses is an incredibly impressive material, and the actual material is called calitris, and that is an Australian native. Tell us a little bit about the calitris.
That was a long, long research to get to the to that particular material. The idea originally was to use a raised garden bed to grow vegetables to save my marriage, but we can get
there. Oh, that's another story.
I wanted to have a sustainable material, sustainable timber. And my research of treated pine, despite the fact that about 15 years ago when I started the business, the main product was the CCA, the copper chrome arsenate treated pine. The
nasty stuff.
Yeah. And 15 years ago, there were alternative treated pine that were coming on the market as well. And my research didn't show a clear... clear idea that these alternative treated pine were going to be safe. So basically, the safety guideline for using the sawdust of that particular treated pine were the same as the CCA, even though they were claiming they was safe for using kindergartens and so forth. Actually, they wasn't, and so. Because I wanted to have a raised garden bed for myself, I looked into the possibility, the various range of timbers, and I didn't want to use a hardwood timber for the sustainability, and also because I couldn't afford it at that time. And so cypress, the calitris, was the...
The best alternative, and the calitris or we call it a cypress here. It's not the Monterey cypress or anything. This is an Australian native cypress.
Yeah.
It is chock-a-block full of oil, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And that helps to resist it from pest and disease that tends to rot it down.
Yeah.
And also gives it the longevity, doesn't it?
That's right.
That was going to be my question. What sort of lifespan does it have? Do these boxes have?
It's classified by the Australian standard as a class one above ground, which says up to 40 years.
Oh, fantastic.
That'll
see me too. Oh, dear. No, fantastic. Now, just going into the whole, if someone was going to purchase a raised garden bed, buy a mod box. Is it boxed up for delivery and that person then has to actually install it themselves? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And how easy is that to do?
Look, my passion for Lego since I was a kid. Made it so that I wanted it to be as simple as possible. The idea was to have a very high level, high-end product without any need of having a professional to install it. Mm. And so the whole box can be put together without the use of any power tools.
Fantastic. I like the sound of that. Okay.
So it's worked on. It is basically like a Lego, isn't it?
It is.
Each piece locks together and is held together with a big steel pin, which I think is sort of like an F-16 starter bar, all cut to length. And every piece just fits one on top of the other.
Over the other.
The instructions are all there. It's nice and easy. As I said, the hardest thing is filling the bloody thing.
Getting that soil in. Now, I noticed on the website that there are quite a large number of designs. You were talking about the designs and different people having different needs. Do you also make to order, or do you have specific designs that we can choose from?
The idea is like in a Lego set, for example, you have a certain amount of pieces that you can put together to build any size and shape.
Right.
So we do have the largest range of raised garden bed, I think, in the world.
Whoa, where else will we go? Nowhere. Yep.
The beauty about it is that when I have a client that wants a raised garden bed and they don't want to go into something just long and boring, I can design them up and Marco can manufacture them according to just about any of the designs that I come up with. So anything from a semicircle, for instance, Marco has the computer that sets it up, that cuts out, that has the angles all cut out, all worked out, so when the whole thing's put together, it's a semicircle.
Oh,
and we did fantastic. A ripper one, a huge one, actually, out at Newham South. Do you remember that one?
I remember.
That was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's so interesting, Keith always pushes the boundary of the possible.
There you go, oh no, here comes Keith's stuff.
And then I have to purchase a new software that will allow me to do a new design.
Well, then that opens up More possibilities, exactly. Which is a good thing. Now, wicking bed systems, they can also be purchased from ModBox to fit any of the raised garden beds. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Well, that's something to... We've done a podcast on wicking beds and how wonderful they are, so that's...
And we referred back to Marco's website for all the best ideas, and because Marco's done it all. Can you just explain just quickly how a wicking bed system works?
It's a very simple principle. Mm-hmm. The idea is to have water accessible to the plant all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we store that water in the lowest part of that garden bed, using the natural property of soil, the capillary action of the soil, that will draw that water upwards. So we create this water reservoir and the soil can access that water. So as the plants, they draw more moisture from the soil acts as a wick and draws up more moisture. There are a few challenges about a wicking system. First of all is be sure that the whole container is waterproof. And so once the whole container is waterproof, the first problem that we can get is that we need to put a drainage, otherwise the whole box is going to be filled with water and our plants are going to drown. So that level of the drainage is designed to have that moisture reaching up to a certain height, but not too much. Because if the whole garden bed of soil is saturated with water, then the plants are not going to survive. Mm. They're going to be waterlogged in. And so that drainage point decides the level of moisture in that raised garden bed. And then the second challenge is having a medium that will store the water for a long period of time without changing the pH of that water and getting the soil rancid.
Mm-hmm.
Then once we put, let's say that we choose rocks for that purpose, then we need to find another there's another challenge, which is going to be finding what to separate those rocks from the soil above. So we want a material that is not going to degrade over time, is going to contain the silt of the soil. And that's usually the most common layer for that is called geotextile.
Yep.
And then we put the soil, and the soil is going to be designed to work in conjunction with the drainage to allow the moisture to raise up to a certain level, but not too much and not too little.
Mm-hmm.
And we cover probably 99% of the edible plants with the 450 mil high raised garden bed, mm-hmm. which is the perfect height to mm-hmm. sit on.
Yep.
And also the perfect
height. Yeah, so we know that now, yeah. Yep. Okay. Now, do you supply all of that?
All of that?
All of that, as in the geotextile material, the rocks, the piping, everything, if someone wants a wicking bed?
Except for the rocks and the soil. Yeah. The rocks are, depending in Australia, where you're in Australia. In Victoria, it's scoria rocks are the most common medium for the
ground. And they're probably one of the best rocks, aren't they, the scoria?
Yeah.
Because they'll drain through their own mass. Whereas if you're stuck with something like blue metal or bluestone or granite or something else, that won't contain moisture within the actual material itself.
Right.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
So if you can imagine scoria, it's a little bit like a sponge,
mm.
Whereas
okay.
the blue metal is like concrete or you know, a brick. The water hits it and is shed it off.
The scoria will absorb it.
Yeah,
fantastic.
You're an engineer by trade.
Yeah.
All right, so how did an engineer who went through all those qualifications to become an engineer suddenly decide to get into building wicking beds and mud boxes?
Something to do with his marriage, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
So where did it all start?
Well, I grew up in Italy, north of Italy, mm-hmm. and from a region called Piemonte, in a small farm, but with a very long tradition. So my family has been living in that piece of land and in the house for about seven generations.
Wow.
So much so that if you Google it, my surname, you can see the house because it's
fantastic.
Really? Oh, wow.
You can drive it right to the Cascina Barretta.
Wow.
And you're here. Your family upset that you left.
Oh, yeah, well, the piece of land that we had after many generations got divided between all of the members of the families. In Italy, we had big families, and so smaller land himself. So a small farm when he gets to get to my father. But in that small farm, we still had an orchard, a veggie patch, and so forth. And the only job that my dad ever called me to do asked me to help me in the veggie patch was to weed. And I hated weedy. So forward about 15 years ago, when I got hit by the travel bug and decided to travel around the world, and being an engineer, I'm a very methodical person. So I start with A for Australia, then I was going to go to Burma, then Cambodia.
Oh, no. That's a traveling.
But then all of that plan got sidetracked because I met my wife.
Oh, how lovely.
And she wanted to have a veggie patch. And the only memory that I had of the veggie patch, she was weeding in the garden.
That's all you can remember.
And so there was a very easy solution for that. It was a wicking system. Because in the wicking system, because the water comes from the bottom part of the garden bed, it doesn't allow for the weed to grow on the top surface. So even if you get seeds on the top of the surface, so there was no weeding required.
Well done.
So we made his wicking garden beds early on, and people from the street saw them and they were so impressed. And at that time, we were newly married. I was new to the country. My system engineer background led me to travel the world, but I wasn't interested in doing that kind of corporate work anymore. And so my wife got pregnant, so she stopped working, and all of a sudden I had to
do something.
And I had people down the street that wanted to ask more information of those raised garden beds. They were working so well. And so I say,
put your engineering cap on and applied it to producing a raised bed and a wicking system, and away you went.
Fantastic business.
Yeah.
And I started doing local markets. And then I met Keith at one of the local markets, and he gave me the opportunity to go to the International Flower Show. And, so my background as a systems engineer led me to iron out all of the best material and the best possibles in order to make it foolproof so that anyone can have a raised garden bed.
Fantastic.
And then along the way with our association with you and the Diggers Club, we put you in touch with Costa Georgiades.
Yes.
From Gardening Australia. Oh. And you went up and installed a beautiful system up in it was a school of some sort.
Yeah,
set of series of steps, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was another very challenging
job.
Never done something like that before. And they had this space in the TAFE in Ultima, and they steps.
I think I've seen this photo. I've seen a photo on your website of this, and I thought, my goodness, how did you do that?
Mm. It was, we came up with this idea of having a fishbone, the type of design, going down the steps.
Yep, amazing.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Great working.
It is. So you actually send your mod boxes all over Australia? You do every state of Australia?
Yep.
And whereabouts are they all manufactured?
Oh, we manufacture here in the Mornington Peninsula.
So you are based down in Hastings, is that right?
Yeah.
Factory down there? Very local.
That's fantastic.
So when someone picks a design from your catalogue of boxes and so forth, and they might live in, say, Canberra, how do they get them? How does it arrive?
They usually have two options. Mm-hmm. If they can access a trailer or a ute, they can collect from a local depot in the area, and there is no charge for that.
When you say a local depot, you're talking about a courier.
Yeah, we use company. It. Yeah, and I think it's the FedEx network.
Yeah,
we use the FedEx Central, and can be collected too. So there's depot in any major city, and also in across the territory. Mm-hmm. Or if they don't have a possibility to get a trailer or a ute, because the garden bed gets flat pack and put into a palletized
form. So it's all wrapped and so forth. So it's all the pieces are there.
Yeah. And we can organize a delivery to their home address. Mm-hmm. And there will be a truck with a tailgate. So the back of the truck comes, lowers down, and they can unload that pallet. Mm. And then once you open the pallet, all of the timber is bundled in 20 kilograms. Of weight, so then it can be
put in a barrow or carried around the back if you're strong enough.
Trolley,
fantastic. And that's it, so that's how they arrive.
I think that's incredible. And you know that I'm looking out there and I've got a garden waiting for some. So, Marco, after all that wonderful information, I can't imagine why anyone would shop anywhere other than Modbox when it comes to buying a raised garden bed or two or three or four.
Or eight.
Or 20. I'm putting my order in right after this. So thank you so much, Marco. It's been lovely having you with us today. And please, everyone, take a look at Marco's fabulous work at modbox.com.au.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au. And happy gardening.